Hi, everyone. Welcome to the San Diego News Fix Name Drop Edition, where we highlight amazing people in, around, and from San Diego. I'm Christy Totten. I'm sad to announce it's our last ever name drop and one of the final episodes of this podcast, but I'm happy to say it's with an incredible San Diegan. Captain Liz Clark is from Point Loma and learned to surf and sail here before going to college at UC Santa Barbara and setting out on a 12-year sea voyage, sailing around the world mostly by herself. She chronicled her adventures in a book called Swell, a memoir published by Patagonia in 2018. The book captures the beauty of her travels, but also the hardships and difficulties she faced both within herself and in the outside world. Captain Liz lives in Tahiti now, where she runs her own environmental nonprofit. She joined me from beneath a thatched roof on her new property, where the sun was shining and birds were singing. You can hear some of that in the interview. Here's our conversation. Well, Captain Liz, thank you so much for joining me. I'm so excited to talk to you. I read your book. I'm a big fan of yours. And last time we talked, you were escaping a storm. How did that go? And how are you doing now?
Thanks, Christy. I'm doing great. The storm was not as strong as predicted. So I spent a nice week on Swell in a protected bay where the squalls were passing over, but I had big mountains kind of fending off the worst of it for us. So all is well. I brought Swell back to where I usually keep her right now in front of our home. And yeah, back to life as usual around here.
Amazing. Well, I know you're living in Tahiti now. What is your day-to-day life like? Tell me what you're up to these days.
Yeah. So since I finished writing Swell and completed the book tour and everything, I was ready for a bit of a change after, you know, more than a decade living on the boat and living such a nomadic lifestyle. I was really curious and interested in trying to live on land here in Tahiti, where I met my wonderful partner Tahui, and kind of just was ready to try something different and take my environmental activism to a different level, or try something a little more hands-on. So that was in 2018, the end of 2018. Tahui and I found a place to move on land where I could keep Swell right out in front of the house. And so it was a really hard decision for me, because I think so much of my identity is wrapped up in being a captain and being, you know, living on Swell and having that be such a big part of my life. But, you know, everyone gets to a point with certain things where you need to expand, you need to try, you know, you get burnt out. And so, so it's been a really nice change, you know, running water and hot showers and, all those things that for so many years were just a part of my daily lifestyle that, you know, take up time. And writing the book, it was really a big daunting task in itself. And then to also, you know, doing what it takes to keep a boat running and stay safe out there on the water. You know, by the end, I was just really pretty tired and burnt out. So yeah, for the last couple of years, some other local community members, we founded a nonprofit organization here in Tahiti called Atia Matairea, which means basically stand up for your island. And we have been working on some various projects in the community, mostly environmental and animal welfare projects. And so, yeah, that's been taking up a lot of my time for the last couple of years. I'm now the director of the organization, and really am lucky because Patagonia continues to support me enough that I'm able to dedicate a lot of time to these projects and really kind of try to live out the act local, more hands-on side of activism that I was really wanting to have an experience in. So day to day, that was a really long way to get to your question, but day to day, you know, if the surf's good, we try to squeeze in some surf in the morning and then, you know, work on whatever projects are happening for the association. And my, my husband is really, amazing in the garden. We have lots of fruits and things that he tends to all the time. We're trying to eat as much off the land as possible. And so, yeah, we stay really busy. But it's most of it is things that we're really passionate about. And yeah, feel really lucky to be living in a place that allows me to kind of have a little bit of all the things that I love in my lifestyle.
Yeah, it looks so beautiful. I'm sure this is from what I've seen on Instagram. You know, it looks like you're really continuing to live a beautiful life, although a different one. Well, I wanted to ask you about the book. As you said, it came out in 2018. I mean, how did publishing the book change your life?
I mean, I was so lucky to work with Patagonia on the book publishing process because, you know, being a first-time author and writing a story that was so close to my heart as a memoir, you know, I was nervous and there was a lot of big question marks going into how that was going to look. And, you know, Patagonia has always been so good about giving me the flexibility to do things the way that I really feel, you know, most drawn to. And originally the book was going to be a collection of short stories. And as I started writing, it really evolved into, you know, this greater story arc of my spiritual journey and, you know, how I grew as a human out there, on the voyage. So, I was really lucky that they were flexible with how the book came to fruition. And, you know, I exposed a lot of myself and my vulnerabilities, through the story. And a lot of that was very therapeutic, writing it and then also publishing it, you know, and saying, yeah, this is who I am and here it is, world. But yeah, it's still a work in progress in terms of just being able to accept myself and not worry what people think about, you know, the things that were more sensitive or more controversial that I talked about in the book. But yeah, I think it felt like the culmination of my voyage and in terms of, you know, me being able to take all the and process all the learning and all the growth that I had been through the adventures that I lived out there. So there was some feeling of completion that came with the publishing of the book.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that vulnerability because I was really struck in your book by how open you were, you know, talking about your family problems, talking about really personal decisions you had made. And, you know, like you just said, there were parts of it that were cathartic, but, you know, like what was the process you went through? Like, do I want to put that much of myself out there? And also, how was it received? Like, what kind of feedback have you gotten?
Yeah, I mean, it was such an interesting process because when you're writing your own story, you know, it's always truth from your perspective. And so, you know, everything that involved people who are in my life, that I love and, you know, my dear close family members and things, it was definitely a back and forth exchange and, you know, me putting things on paper that, you know, what I felt from my perspective and then having, you know, them read it and give me feedback and find, you know, maybe a middle ground that felt more comfortable for everyone. And, without, you know, me feeling like I was losing the integrity of the story. So yeah, it was really an important process. Every single person that I featured in the book, aside for a few, sm- a, f- a a select few whose names were changed, you know, were consulted and made sure that they, I made sure that they approved of their, you know, section in the book before it went to press. And in general, you know, the book has been really well received. Every now and then I get a negative comment, but the overwhelming majority is people who feel inspired by the way that I put myself out there. And, you know, for me, the reason that I did that for the most part, if I'm going to spend all that time writing a book about my story, it just didn't seem logical to hide some of the bigger, more important things that shaped who I am. And I also think it was really important to, in terms of, you know, using my story to empower others to live their dreams, to show that I'm not like a superhuman person. I have these same fears and insecurities and, you know, complications in my life that everyone has. And so I felt like it would make the story more relatable and more empowering for others, which was super important to me.
Yeah, well, it definitely was. Thank you for sharing all you did, you know, the good, the bad, but overall, it's just so inspiring. You know, like you said, you're not a human without flaws. You're not a superhuman, but you have done something that most people have not done, maybe is not even in their, you know, wildest dreams. So like looking back on your journey, and of course you're still on it, but looking back on, you know, everything that went into the book, like, can you believe it? You know, did was this in your plan?
Yeah, it's really interesting now, especially having really shifted gears into this, like, you know, more of a nonprofit activism world. And then, you know, spending time on Swell from time to time and just thinking about what I did out there, I oftentimes truly can't believe it, you know? But it was almost like there just was no other option for me, that there was no way I wasn't going to do it. And in the moment, the dream and the pursuit of freedom and the pursuit of, you know, living a lifestyle that reflected my values, all of that was just, it took precedence over my logic, kind of. And I do really think that, you know, there were some kind of supernatural forces looking out for me at the times, you know, when I was learning and getting, you know, used to being a captain and all of those things. There were just times where, you know, it felt like there were little angels watching out for me, because there's just so much to learn, so much to know, and so many things that seem virtually impossible looking back, you know? So, but I think when you're that dedicated to something, like, the universe really does help you find a way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what were like the biggest life lessons you took away from it, you know, about the world itself, about you personally? You know, just looking back on that time, how are you different than when you began?
Well, there's so many, but, you know, some of the ones that stand out, I think the biggest change in myself would be, you know, developing and becoming a more compassionate person. I think having all those challenges that arose during the voyage and, you know, being able to relate to people in vulnerable situations, you know, no matter whether it's like, it was the times where I wasn't sure where my next income was going to come from, or when I was out there facing, you know, the power of nature, when you feel really vulnerable, I think it opens this doorway into connecting with other beings that are feeling that vulnerability. And that has enhanced my life in such incredible ways to be able to, you know, feel that connection and want to help others, you know, live a happier, better life. So I'd say that was a big thing personally that changed in myself over those years. In terms of the world, I think, you know, when I sailed away from California, in my mind, there was this place that I was going that was immune to all of the political and environmental and societal things that I struggled with. You know, as an environmental studies major at UCSB, you know, just seeing that we were on this collision course with environmentally, where with the way our modern world works, and you know, an economy that's based on you know, unlimited growth on a finite planet, like, it just didn't make sense to me. And you know, in my head, there was this place that I was going that was going to be different. And I think what I found is that the world is a lot smaller, even though it feels really big when you're out there on the ocean. You know, I basically saw, you know, all of these similar, you know, small scale environmental crises happening in every place I went, and, you know, similar political situations, and struggles to have good leadership that really has integrity and things, and in so many places. And so, you know, it made me realize that, you know, we have to be the change and participate and, actively pursue, you know, the solutions that we're looking for to, continue to have a livable planet for the generations in the future. And also be able to balance, you know, there's those difficult negative realities, but also be able to see the beauty in the everyday life around us, and because that can become really overwhelming and challenging to my mental health. So, you know, that was a big thing that I learned, is that you have to just, you know, step back from that once in a while, and just, or more than once in a while, as much as you can, to keep yourself motivated for the long haul, you know, because life is so beautiful and the earth is so beautiful. And if you get too overwhelmed, then you end up paralyzed and not able to participate in a positive way. So yeah, that's something I still continue to have to remind myself about and make sure I do enough of my everyday.
For sure. Well, I think you said it perfectly. It's so important, but it can feel really overwhelming. Like, we can't make a big enough change, or the things I'm doing don't matter, or I'm not doing enough. But I know, of course, you know, eco-friendliness, environmentalism, conservation, that's all a really big part of your life and what you do. How do you tell people to get started or stay involved or get to that next level, you know, of making a difference?
You know, I try not to judge anyone's path. I think it's a very personal thing to whether or not, you know, you're able to participate in living a more, you know, a lighter, more eco-friendly life. So I think my strategy has been to lead by example, and, you know, we're all just learning. I'm still very much learning how every day to do better. And I think sharing that journey with people through social media and storytelling has been an effective way for me to, you know, show people that it's a journey. It's not overnight. And you start with a few small things and see how it makes you feel. And for me, it has become a really fun way to just continue to be creative and try to always keep Mother Earth in mind. And I think we all know that when we do things that align with our values, it feels really good. And, you know, that alone can be enough of a compensation to find the willingness to keep trying. So I try not to, you know, shove my ways of seeing the world or hopes for people to take action in their own lives too directly in people's faces. But I do, you know, share my journey and try to do my best and be a good example for others.
I wanted to ask you about San Diego. I know that you learned to sail here, but what is your relationship to it? Are you from here? Are you from around here? Do you still have family in California?
Yeah, I grew up in San Diego, between North County, for most of my young life, and a little bit in Point Loma area as well. We still have our family sailboat is still in Point Loma, and my mom is living there. Wow. So I'm still very much connected to San Diego. And when I do come back to the States, it's usually the first place I come and I base myself out of. And I love San Diego. I have incredibly fond memories and I always have such a wonderful time when I'm there. And it's definitely, it's my home.
I love it. My home. What are some of your San Diego spots?
I mean, for enjoying or for surfing? And
surfing, eating, hanging out, like just, you know, whatever it is that's meaningful to you that comes to mind.
Well, I love the Sunset Cliffs area. I spend a lot of time when I'm there. I'm based in Point Loma. So, you know, there's beautiful walks and surfing on that side of the cliffs. And when I'm in the North County region, I have a lot of friends and family still up in that region. And I love the Swamis, the gardens at the Swami, at the point there, I'm forgetting the name of
the Self-Realization Fellowship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The Self-Realization Fellowship. Thank you. I love the Guadagna Cafe just across from there. When I'm in San Diego, I eat a lot of plant-based and vegan food. So I indulge in all the yummy food there. There's some, I have a really dear friend living in Oceanside who is really close to a lot of delicious new vegan restaurants. There's one called The Plot that's super good. So I've had a few meals there on my stops home. The whole coastline is so special and I try to get a few surfs in at my old favorite spots and just get to, you know, see as many friends as I can when I'm around.
Awesome.
So,
do you think Swell will ever be made into a movie? Is that something you're thinking of or even want? Because I think it would be an amazing movie.
Thank you. So Swell is currently being transformed into a series, a limited series.
Wow.
I just spent over the holidays, I was working with the screenwriter and getting the pilot episode dialed in. So that is just newly out in the world. And we're looking for a buyer for the series. And so, that's super exciting. And who knows if it'll ever come to fruition, but I really love the team that I'm working with. And I think it could have a lot of value, you know, just getting the story to more people through telling it on screen, I think would be really cool. So,
Really exciting. I so agree. I mean, there's just like so much adventure and introspection and life lessons, and it just not obviously like so much of it is set in, you know, beautiful places. So, I hope that works out. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah.
I think we're running low on time here. But I did want to ask you, one, are you working on any other books? Do you plan to write other books? And two, just, you know, what is your advice for people who want to get started on their own adventure?
So at the moment, I'm not working on any other books. This is a year that I'm definitely dedicating myself again to the nonprofit. We have several projects coming to fruition that I really want to see through. So we have a couple of spay and neuter campaigns that I'm in charge of planning this year, and a few other projects. One that's more of a lagoon ocean conservation project that's really we've been working on for several years, and it's all kind of culminating this year. So it's not time to abandon ship quite yet from those projects. So I have some offers to work on children's books and maybe a cookbook, but at the moment I just haven't found time to pursue those yet. So yeah, we'll see what the future brings, but I don't feel like I've had quite enough time since the last book to, you know, really, you know, write another sequel to Swell at this point. But, you know, give me a few more years and, you know, maybe the sea is calling again. It's starting to call again. So, you know, I needed a break, but yeah, I'm missing the big wide open ocean. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens in terms of a sequel sometime in the future.
Awesome. I have to say, I think children's books would be amazing. I was looking for a kid's book about surfing for a friend, you know, who just had a kid who is a surfer. There's not a lot out there, surprisingly. Yeah. There's really not. And I just couldn't believe it. I would think there'd be something, but I really didn't find anything. So I got him a different book.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I think it could be super fun. I just need to make a little more room on my plate for it. So
I get it. Well, we can wait. Just final question, you know, like what advice do you have for people that, you know, have a big dream like you did, or a little bit intimidated, a little scared? You know, what would you have to say?
I think the first advice I try to give people is to just like get closer to it, you know, do what you can to get closer to what your dream looks like. For me, that was, you know, starting to spend more time in a marina where I could, you know, apprentice with a marine mechanic and an electrician and, you know, gain some of the knowledge that I knew I would need to be out there on Swell. So, you know, lots of people that have the knowledge that you need for your dream maybe are looking to share it. And that, you know, with Barry became such a special exchange for him in his later years of life. And me being, you know, this young person who was looking for that knowledge and that encouragement. So, you know, putting yourself out there to meet people and putting yourself in situations, or, you know, reaching out to experts in, you know, who have done or are doing what you'd like to do, I think is really important. And I think it's important also to just realize that the getting there is part of the journey, you know. Once you decide and you dedicate your life, or you're in your mind dedicated to this dream, it's not going to happen overnight. You know, it took me 3 years to get off the dock. That's a long time. And so you have to be patient with yourself and try to trust the whole, you know, process of getting to, you know, where the dream in your mind shows you. It takes time, and you have to just break it down into small bites and go slowly and not get overwhelmed. I think that's really been helpful to me all along the journey, was just, you know, try to take things that look too big and scary and break it down into pieces that are more manageable and more day to day.
Awesome. Well, such great advice. Captain Liz Clark, thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for joining me, for writing this book, and, you know, giving us a glimpse into what you're up to today. It's been really awesome to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Christy, for having me. It's been a pleasure to talk to you and meet you. And yeah, really, really happy to be here. And thanks for sharing my story.
Thanks again to Captain Liz Clark for joining me, and thank you for listening. You can find Liz at swellvoyage.com. She's on Instagram at Captain Liz Clark, and you can also find more about her nonprofit at atmislandprotectors.org. Thanks for listening.